We're about to embark upon a new sugya, also a fairly long sugya. It's a sugya that appears in Sanhedrin Daf Samech Tes Amud Aleph, almost similar to the last sugya. It starts with the Inyanei Ben Sora Mora and quickly takes on a life in and of itself, like as we're going to see most of the parak is like that. There's very little about Ben Sora Mora, by the way, in this parak, except for the name of the parak. But the bulk of the lumbus of the parak is outside of Ben Sora Mora proper. It's a sugya that, the truth is, really permeates so many issues in Shas. It touches upon the fundamental koch of Rov in Halacha. Rov particularly, the notion of following a majority, following statistical majorities, following actual majorities, in the realm of Dini Nefoshos, in the realm of Dini Mominus, how this relates to Rov and Nisa Beheter, some really basic Shas concepts. And it starts in probably the strangest place possible. I mean, the way the Gemara got onto this topic is so... I mean, it literally starts from the least expected place, and that's on Samach Tes Amud Aleph. But the Gemara is discussing, going back to the Ben Sora Mora for a second, the Gemara is discussing how old can this Ben Sora Mora be to be treated, to be potentially subject to the halachas of Ben Sora Mora. So the window of opportunity, if you use such a phrase, for Ben Sora Mora is very, very small. It is obvious that before he's bar mitzvah, he's not going to be subject to any einish. No one's chayav einish before bar mitzvah. It is also obvious that after a certain point, when he's 35 years old, he's not going to be a ben tzarimori. He's not a ben anymore. It's a very young kid, immediately posed bar mitzvah. So how long is that window of opportunity? So basically, what the Gemara develops for us a little bit before Hashtagi actually begins, is that the Tosh Bapek explains to us the phrase of the Chumash, ki yel ish ben tzoro moreh. The implication is that this Ben is a Ben. He's not an Av. He's not a father himself. If he would be a father himself, he's not a Ben anymore. I mean, he could be a father and a son, I'm saying. But the Torah describes him as being a Ben, so the drush is Ben Velo Av. Now, Ben Velo Av doesn't mean to say that we're coming to exclude someone who actually is married and actually has his own kid. That's not the Pshat. The Torah was said, the Halacha was said to us, that anyone who's Roy Vekach, to be Nikra Av, is mufka for the parish of Ben. So if he's old enough for us to label him an av, to label him a father, so that in of itself is a mafkia, the shame, the possibility of becoming a Ben Tzarimor. Now the question becomes, at what point does that happen? When do we say, what's the bare bone minimum that a person be called an av after his bar mitzvah? So again, the clock doesn't start ticking until the day of the bar mitzvah. So do we say, the day after his bar mitzvah, he's already a father? To believe, because after all, we learned the last 5 weeks that, generally speaking, before his bar mitzvah, so he's not going to have a child yet. He's not be able to cause a woman to be able to become pregnant. So we're talking about some point bar mitzvah onwards, from godless and onwards, where what's the earliest time that we can label as being an av? So that's what the Gemara picks up and says that 3 months. This far, 3 months. Where did 3 months come from? 3 months comes, a pasuk chumash, not this week's parasha, next week's parasha. V'hiki b'shloish chadoshim, that 3 months is considered to be halachically significant in a pregnancy. That's what's called hukah ubram. That's the point where a woman begins to show signs a little bit. After the first 3 months, you usually can't tell. And then into the fourth month, you really begin to tell. That's halachically significant. V'hiki b'shloish chadoshim. At that point, it's called hukah ubram. It's important for hilchos nida, for other areas of halacha. It becomes critical for this sugya as well. This is usually one of the questions that a lot of young couples, you know, ask. They just realize that the wife is expecting. So sometimes the rabbis, usually the rabbi and the doctor, the first ones to find out. So when the rabbi finds out, so they say, when are we allowed to tell people? So I said, I don't know if I should use the word allowed. When is it appropriate to say? So I said, we always follow what it says in Chumash. I said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'hikim b'shlosh chodoshim. So that's not, and then after 3 months, it's okay. You can't criticize me for saying after 3 months before that. I can't say it's also. I said, V'hikim b'shlosh chodoshim. Fine. So comes the Gemara and says that we just put together all those pieces of information that the kid can't become a Ben Tzarimor until he's bar mitzvah. At that point, theoretically, a woman can become pregnant from him, but we won't know about it, so to speak, until 3 months. That's the shia. 3 months, ad kavaliyah. So after 3 months, it's in theory, the woman can be pregnant. That's known. Again, biologically she becomes pregnant the next day also, but halakhically that doesn't count, doesn't register until 3 months. That's what the Toshua explains to us. Kol yamoshim and saramara ein ala gimel chadoshim. That's the din. So comes the Gemara and begins to analyze this. Comes the Gemara and says, it was the one of the Amorayim who, the one who's known for the statement, was, it's a very unique name, Rabbi Kuspidoi was his name. Anyone know what Kuspidoi means? Kuspidoi means the same as Tzitzis. It's the Aramaic word for Tzitzis. I don't know how we got the name, Tzitzis. Rabbi Kuspidoi somehow is synonymous with the word Tzitzis. So comes Rabbi Kuspidoi and taught us this halacha, that if you take a look, it's three lines into the wide line, the Samachtas Bid Aleph, Guf Amr of Kuspidoi, Amr of Shapsai, Kol Yamam Shabin Sir, Meira Ein and Ela Gimach Adosh and Levan. I think Meira just fine tunes it a little bit, and now the Gemara picks up to where we want to go. So where our Sukkah is going to begin now, six lines into the wide lines. The first line is Chadoshim. Yossi Rabbi Yaakov, Binar Pekod, Kamej Ravina, Vyossi Vekar Mishbeid of Unabed Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yaakov is sitting in front of Ravina and quoting the following observation that Rabbi Yeshua made. Shema b'nabit Rabbi Kuspidoi, from Rabbi Kuspidoi and Rabbi Shapsay, from this statement, we can derive the following statement of fact. Yoledes l'shiva ein ubra nikar l'shlish yameha. So comes the Gemara and says, we're probably familiar with this idea. There were two almost like terms of pregnancy that Chazal described. There's the normal pregnancy, the tishi yachaleida, and then somehow this idea of a seventh month pregnancy. Now again, we don't quite understand that in modern medicine today. So the basic mindset is that the further in, the better off you are. So if you give birth in the eighth month, that's better than giving birth in the seventh month. But Chazal viewed it at the seventh month pregnancy, that's okay. Eighth month is very, very problematic. And the ninth month, of course, is the best. So I remember I once had a long talk with a neonatologist, a Frum fellow, who was trying, he said to me, he wrote an entire paper about what exactly Chazal was describing. I don't know enough about the halacha. I definitely don't know enough about the neonatology to understand the paper. So I think he showed it to me, he described it to me. I can't comment on it, because I don't understand the medicine. But whatever it is, we have to just put ourselves into this world for a moment, that we're talking about a seventh month pregnancy. So comes to my raise the following question, a seventh month pregnancy. How do you calculate hukar ubra for a seventh month pregnancy? Is hukar ubra going to be calculated based on, it's like a ratio, a third of the pregnancies? So that would be two and, I need some math there. Two and two thirds. You see my math is a little schlash. So two, that's why I can't help my daughter. Two and a third, right? So after two to third month, so that's called hukah ubra for a 7 month pregnancy. What do I say? No, the sheer 3 months. Until 3 months, that's called, again, we don't understand. It's hard for us to understand this whole picture. Again, we're just working with Chazal tells us right now. So at what point do we say hukah ubra? Two to third, or do we say 3 months even for the 7 months? Why is that important? The Gemara continues and says, Shema bida, that it must be 3 months is the absolute chaykhla yavashir. Because if you're going to tell me that you follow a third of that particular pregnancy, that after 2 months and a third, potentially there may be a woman who's pregnant from this young boy, and he's roiled the gross off. And now guess what? What right do we have to put him to death as a ben seremora when he's 2.5 months after his bar mitzvah? We should put the cutoff point at 2 1/3 months. So 3 weeks, we extended the window too far. The whole window, the whole shiur of Chazal is based on this tereshim apeh of royal nikros av. So Chazal did the math and said, what's the bir adover that halacha mash b'sinai, that bir, that tereshim apeh of royal nikros av? It must mean a third of the pregnancy. So say Chazal, wait a second. If it means a third of the pregnancy, make it a 2 1/3 months, because there's a possibility that's a 7th month pregnancy. Says the Gemara, you see from here, that's always 3 months. So what's more fascinating is the Gemara's response. Now the emphasis is that a 2 1/3 months, it's possible to already have hukah ubra. If it's going to be a shorter pregnancy, it could be. So how could you possibly kill this boy in those extra 3 weeks? Zil Basar Ruba. We follow Rov. The Rov, a kid becomes a Ben Sora. He had a story. A guy becomes a Ben Sora Omora. The But the Ben Sarah Mora becomes Ben Sarah. He eats his meat, drinks his wine, overturns his parents, everything, steals from his parents, everything, at the ripe old age of 13 and 2 months and 3.5 weeks. And now we come to Benjamin, and he's a shtickle Torah. The guy said, he may be a little gallop, maybe a little some of his shtickle Torah. He says, wait a second, what are you killing me for? He said, I'm already running across Av. How do you know? Maybe there's a 7-month pregnancy. The number's fine. How do you know? I'm going to run across Av. So we say, it could be, it's possible, but most pregnancies are not 7 months. Most pregnancies are 9 months. And therefore, the halacha is nikva, basa the rove. And therefore, you're still within that window of problem, and you can be put to death based on rove. Comes the Gemara says, what do you see from here? Hocha minafashas acha harov. Wow, this is like mamash from left field of left field. And Sarah Mora's left field. This dinner of Ben Sarah's left field, and the 1/3, the 2/3, and the 3/3 left field. So you take to the Gemara. But dinner of Fashal Chalach
Harev. Because, especially you said, the rove isn't directly related.
Oh, you're already mechavta shev shmeitz. You're already about 30 steps ahead of us. You're not gonna happen. So the Gemara has only one problem. The Gemara says the Mruk Kamei of Hunu Beit Yeshua. They went back to Hunu Beit Yeshua and they told them what the dichur was. This is Ravina's response. Hunu Beit Yeshua's raya. So Hunu Beit Yeshua responded back and says, what? Amalei v'din nefashas me'azlin basaruba. You kill a guy based on rove. I heard such a thing that you chayav misa because you probably chayav misa. We're not sure. 51.5% chance that you chayav misa. We're going to kill you. What? Are you talking about this? The Torah says the Beitin's got to turn the world upside down. There's a mitzvah to be matzal as a chayav. Adru kamed ravina. So now, this was the hot topic in Bavel, back and forth, Rav Huna Bidim Shim Ravina, they were still contemporaries. So Rav Huna brought his raya, you see from Rav Crispin Doi, such and such. Ravina says, nah, hocha min fash lach haro. Rav Huna says, nah, it can't be. So Ravina responded back, I'm alay, over din fashas, all that masur rava. I said, what are you talking about, says Ravina? We know that you follow Rav by din fashas. I don't need Rav Crispin Doi, maisa lach ben sara vayra. I can tell you for a fact, I know for a fact, we follow Rav by din fashas. So now we're expecting that mamish, the machma papdish rai, we're expecting Ravina to prove you on the shadow of a doubt that you follow Roy Dinafoshis. So listen to the case that Ravina shows to prove this point. What's an ad? It's a mission Sanhedrin. Echen Rabbi Bishnai b'chaydesh, v'echen Rabbi Gimel b'chaydesh. V'echen Rabbi Gimel, they do some chaos. Two way they walk at the base and said, Ruben killed Shimon. So we start to question them. So we ask them, what day in the month did it happen? So one of them says, it was Beis l'chaydesh. And the other one says, was Gimel l'chaydesh. If you'd ask me, I would say, that's Huchashu b'Shem HaKiris. The game's over. So they contradict each other in the time. So basic, the 7 questions that we ask, time and place, the whole Eidish go up in smoke. Nah, the mission is the Dusan Kayemis. Now the Eidish is still good. You know why? Shezei Yodeh b'Rosh HaChodesh Zeneh. Says, what probably happened is, it's a day or two after Rosh Chodesh, one guy knew that it was a Chodesh mover, and one didn't know. In fact, the Rosh Hashanah days, you know, not everyone always knew exactly when the Ibra Chodesh was. Not everyone saw the bonfires. Not everyone knew how to interpret the bonfires. So not everyone heard the Shlichim. So it's okay. Now, one fellow thought Rosh Chodesh was Tuesday, one thought Rosh Chodesh was Wednesday. Sure, that's where you got a little bit of okay. If one guy says it's Beis, another guy says it's Tezvav, so then obviously the story is funny. Well, it's a much later on to the month. Somebody says, Chavon, they didn't get the story straight by the 20th day of the month. That's also a little bit strange. But you know, the very beginning of the month, it's totally understandable. So the Gemara says, therefore, we assume that the Eidus is Kayemus. So everybody said, what are we going to do with that information that the Eidus is Kayemus? We're going to kill the person. We're going to administer Mises based in, assuming that the Eidus is Kayemus. So says Ravina, if you don't follow Rov, then you should say that no, they all knew when it was Rosh Chodesh, and they're contradicting each other. Therefore, it's Hachoshe. And Hachoshe, the Eidus is thrown out. And Allah, Bishum, the only reason why we accept the Eidus is Zil Basaruba, Varuba, the Inshik, Avde, the Tobi, Burdi, Archa. Most people tend to make these kinds of mistakes. It's very, very reasonable to make this mistake. And therefore, because we can explain away that it wasn't a Hachoshe, it wasn't a contradiction, we're going to administer Mrs. Bezdin based on one magic word called Rove. Rove Inchit W. Burdi Acha. That was Rabinus Raya. Again, also, Mamish from Lafield.
Is that that an absolute situation, or is that based on what people knew? Like nowadays.
Right. Okay. Right now, nowadays we'd probably say it's a little bit different. That's right. Although, if you ask the average person today, what day of the Hebrew month is it? So you have to start to remember Chodesh was, how many days of Chodesh was. You know, if I ask you, what's the day of the English calendar? Without looking at your phone or your watch, what's the day? We're not on top all the time, we should be. So I don't know.
What's the rove? I mean, rove people are going to make mistakes.
Oh, so it's interesting. The Gemara doesn't say rove people do make mistakes. Rove people up to the time. It's feasible, it's practical to say, it's not crazy to say they make mistakes. So therefore, we can salvage the Eidus. It's also a strange application of Rove. We're not saying that 95% of the people don't know what day of the month it is. We're saying that 90% of the people could realistically make such a mistake, and therefore we can't call Nachash. So if two guys come to Beis and we ask them, where was the murder? One guy says New York, one guy says it was in Wyoming. So most people would not confuse New York and Wyoming. But to confuse the Beis, and again, well, it could be. So therefore we're not gonna smack them and call the Eidi Achash. So you're right, it's a funny kind of a Rove. So the Gemara now goes to the next step. So we're trying to figure out, is it really true? Do you kill people based on Rove? The two applications, the Tzeremora and the case of the Eidus. Amr Yom Midifti Afadan Amitin. It's a famous Mishnah that you kill somebody based on Rove. What's the famous Mishnah? Bas Shalshan V'yamecha Miskadesh Es Beviyah V'mvole V'yam V'kan V'chinam Shumesh Es Ish. That's the part that it just does. A little girl, she's 3 years old. She could potentially become a Kudesh if the father so desires. Not a very good idea, the Gemara says, but the father's not supposed to do that, but if he so desires. So the woman will become, the little three-year-old will become a Kudesh as Bebiya. She can become a Kudesh as the Kesvishtar even before that. According to all we show, at least when she's born, according to the Rambam, maybe even before she's born, maybe in utero, the Kaddish Nisha, a whole other story, but not for now. But for Kiddush Bia, that's not going to be types in until she's 3 years old, because it's not called the Maisebiya. Allah Khoshin until 3 years old is Nishke Maisebiya. So the Mishnah says explicitly in Maseches Nida that once she's 3 years old, Mekudesh is Rabia, and if someone is Bala, he's going to be Chayav Misa for violating Eshet. She's not Chayav Misa, she's only 3 years old. But the Bala, the Noyev, is going to be Chayav Misa for violating Eshet Ish. So comes the Gemara and jumps a little bit ahead. We'll go to the top of Shabbat Tesla Beis. V'yamai, why are you Chayav Misa for being boiled this Eshet Ish? Ema Eshet. If a woman has the status of an anus, anus is a tricky thing, it's also in your vomit. Anus means, it doesn't just mean a woman can't have children, it means it's very complicated, her anatomy is not really developed properly as a female entirely. The Gemara gives some simonim to identify this condition. The Gemara says an islandess, it's a kiddushitos. A person marries a girl and he finds out that she's an islandess, so could be it's all sugya the Gemara, whether she even needs a get even as a chumra, maybe she doesn't even get all the other sugyas the Gemara, but clearly there's something fundamentally wrong with this condition. Now, at the age of 3, we're not going to have a clue whether she's anonymous or not. That will only be determined later. So if and when she turns 12 or 20 or whatever age it is, and she develops simani anonymous, ikvod milsa, the condition was never really chal. So how could you kill somebody if you boil this little 3-year-old because she's an eshetish? What is an eshetish? Maybe the kedusha was never chal in the first place. Night achilu kaddish. So Gemara says, "Elav the aminin zubas aruba for rov nashim lav ayelus ninu." He says, "No, you see a riot from here. Since most girls are not ayeluses, therefore we have no qualms, no hesitations administering mitzvahs based on rov. That's the Gemara's riot that you follow rov." Gemara says, "Not so poshut. Maybe the kibbutz of it. Maybe hochav amayaskinon." That the husband said he's Makabal even if she has an alibis. Again, so give you no give a case. Sachal Bayaskin. At the end of the day, the Gemara seems to be siding with his view that yes, indeed, we do meet out the Nefesh based on Rov. And it's not such a wild thing to say such a thing. We follow Rov in all the areas of Allah. Krav Lahatzis, we follow Rov. So it's not inconceivable. We follow Rov and the Nefesh as well. So not everyone agreed. And Shaftav Eidah, Vitil Eidah, wasn't so clear. But the Gemara seems to have three pretty good proofs to this idea. One is the Ben Tzeremora part. Number two is the Hachash Ben Eidus. And number three, the case of the Anus, of the potential Anus. So there is another Gemara that also addresses the issue of Rove in the Nefashas, but a much, much easier application of Rove. And that is the Gemara actually also in Masechet Sanhedrin. part of Gilman Beis Sof, which is we haven't had even read the Gemara yet, we'll get there soon. Gemara in Sanhedrin on the Gilman Beis. The Gemara raises the following question: it's the basic protocol of running a Din Torah, but Gilman Beis. It's with the thin lines, about three lines up from where the lines get wide. First word of the line is Bominus. The Mishnah Masechet Sanhedrin says, Shnaimam Zakai V'echam Mechayev. Zakai. This is the case of Dinim Mominus. Three Dayanim, Dinim Mominus Mishloisha. Two Dayanim say Potter, one Dayan says Chayev. What's the Din? Zakai is Potter. Vice versa, Shnaimam Mechayev V'echam Zakai Chayev. So the Gemara wants to know, where did that Din come from? How do you know that you follow Rov Dayanim? How do you know you follow majority rules in Dayanim? So I kind of took the Gemara a little bit, you know, out of the whole context of the sugya, but basically what the Gemara's question is about to be, the Pasuk v'chayram lahatos, which is the source for following Rav Dayanim, according to some, was really only talking about the nefashos. It actually wasn't talking about a Beis Din of 3, it was talking about a Beis Din of 23, and the Torah is saying you follow Rav, or at least 13 to 10, that's the whole discussion of the Gemara, 12, 11, 13 to 10, but not for now. But basically the Yisod HaDov Rachman says you follow Rav by the nefashos. So how do you know you follow Rav by the nefashos also? Says the Gemara in the first of the white lines, the Rotei Rabbi Yosha, Ma'isel mikava chayme b'din nefashos. Uma din nefashos de chamiri am rachaman ezo basa ruba din nefashos de chol shekev. Says the Gemara, Ma doch din nefashos, you follow Rav Dayanim. So kava chayme, you follow Rav Dayanim at din nefashos. So put aside din nefashos for a second, the Gemara just gave a fourth application of following Rav b'din nefashos. So we have following Rav with determining when this kid is still a bit subject to Ben Saramayra. We are following Rav to accept the Eidus. We assume the Eidus made it, was probably just made a mistake in the Devish Reich. We're following Rav to say this little girl is probably not an animal, she's an Eshazish. And we're following Rav at Dayanim to tell us that whenever you have a majority of Dayanim, Lechayev, the person is in fact going to be Chayev Yisrael Bezit. So these are four different applications of following Rav. That was like, not too much to do that. Follow Rav, that's very good. There's a huge glaring problem in both of these sugyas. It is clear from the Gemara, on the Gimel Beis, that whenever we follow Rav by the nefashos, whatever scenario we're comfortable following Rav by the nefashos, Kal v'chomer, we're going to follow by the nefashos. That's like that if you negotiate. Man, if you kill a guy based on Rav, you can't take a few dollars away based on Rav. That's like a irrefutable kavachayim. The problem is that there's not one Gemara, there are actually two Gemaras that say quite clearly, at least the way we paskin, ein holchin v'mamon achra harov. We actually don't follow rov by dinim mamonis. We do not use majority to be motzi mamon. When we have a suffix mamon, and one of the bali din has a rov that's pointing that he's right, we turn around and we say, sorry, the other fellow gets to keep his money. You cannot use Rav to be Motzi Mamon. So that's a huge problem. Because if the Gemara says Beferish, both here and in the Sabbath Tas, by Nefashos, you always follow Rav. And the Gemara here says, and by Kava Chomer, so you follow Rav by the Nemamonis. So what's the Gemara talking about that says? You don't follow Rav. Pitom, there's no Rav by the Nemamonis, like Bechatei said. So before we get to the answers, we have to fine tune the question a little bit. We have to make sure we see the cases that Chazal actually used, that phraseology, of Enoch and Mamlech HaRov. So for that, we need Gemara Rav Kama. So there are two cases of Enoch and Mamlech HaRov. They're both actually Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. One at the end of the fifth, and one at the end of the third. So we'll go backwards. We'll go to the end of the fifth right first. Easier than the two. And that mem vav amud aleph, very beginning of the fifth parak. It's five lines on the bottom, the itmar. Mem vav amud aleph. Hamaycha shor l'chaveh v'nimtza nagchon. I sell you a shor, you pay me a nice price for my animal, and as soon as you get it to your house, you realize that it is akhaz of a shuginim. It's running around goring everybody. It's the last kind of thing you could use in your house right now. You come around, you say to me, Rav, I'm raising my kachtos. I said, you sold me an animal. I'm a farmer. I need the animal to work. I can't have the animal running around with sugar and corn. It's going to cost me $1 million. Shmuel says, no. Let the Meicha turn around and say, Yachal Shiyam Elo, L'shchit Mechartiv L'chach. No. I didn't cheat you. I sold you an animal. It's perfectly eligible to be shechted. And serve as dinner for tonight. Doesn't matter whether it's a wild animal. Shech didn't eat it. So the guy says, but I don't want, I'm not a butcher. And I'm a farmer. I need someone to work, I need an animal to work on my field. So the Meir says, tough luck, I sold you an animal. That's good for Shechita. Where's the Mechachtos? So how would you possibly share? Yemechtos, Dishmechtos. So the Gemara basically says that you go make a survey, go around town and see. Do most people in this location buy animals for work? Or do they buy animals for food? So Rav says it's a simple calculation. Interview 100 people in town. And if the Rav says that they do in fact buy animals for work, then the Lekeach has a right to say, you knew I wanted it for work. 90% of the town buys things for work. And therefore it's a Mechachtos and I want my money back. And Shmuel says, the facts are right. 90% buy for work and the dinner's wrong. Why? Says Shmuel, on the top of the above, on the base, A. Holchin b'mamon acharav. You want to use rov to be mitzi mamon? Forget it. I'll throw out another cloud against you. Called a mitzi bechavel abaraya. I'm muchzik on the money. You gave me the money already. You want to get money out of my pocket? You want me to return the cash to you based on your statistics of rov? Einach mamon acharav. Now we have the pasuk Shmuel, Rav Shmuel, Dinei Mamonis. We always follow Shmuel. So we can always be famous that einach mamon acharav. In case that Gemara is not enough, we can take a look quickly at the Gemara beginning of Kaminiach, beginning of the third verse. So Gemara has the following discussion. I sold you a barrel, or at least that's what you thought you were getting. I told you to sell you a chavis. And a chavis goes in the marketplace for $100. You pay me $100. And what goods do I deliver to you? I deliver you a pitcher full of oil. He said, I ordered a barrel of oil. I say to you, chavis and a kad? Oh, check the dictionary. Those two terms are interchangeable. Some people call it chavis, some people call it kads. You gave me $100, I told you to give you a chavis, but that really means a kad, and it's okay. So you're expecting this big barrel, and I bring you a little pitcher of chanuk oil. So wait a second, is that a big chatos? Not a big chatos. So let's go in the marketplace, let's do our research. Do most people call chavises and kads? And if that's the case, then when I said a chavis, I meant a chavis, and then you're cheating me. I want my money back. So the Gemara says, we did the research, we found out most people talk to do call chavises and kads, and therefore, I want my money back. Says Rav, I'm entitled to my money back. And you know what Shmuel says? You're not getting a penny back, because some people call the kads and chavises interchangeably, and therefore, enoch mam nacharov. So the identical machlokes that appears in the Fibre Rav Kama appears in the Chavzai Rav Kama as well. We could even bring it down to a real live scenario. Let's say we have the following. What if I order online, order a case of wine, if I'm not mistaken. I think we had this case at one time. I have a case of wine. So how many bottles are in a case of wine? We'll say usually 12. But every once in a while, it was six. Now, I think based on our research, we came to the realization that sometimes it's six. Yeah. Most of the times it's 12, but sometimes it's six. I paid you for a case. So that is the Machlokes Rav Shmuel. It can't be more of a modern application of Machlokes Rav Shmuel. Maestro Kachoya, in our own Dalam, such a shy laugh. Maestro Kachoya.
But isn't there a principle that if you take more than 1/6 above the market value, that it's...
Well, the Gemara asked the question, wait a second, why don't we just look what the price is? You must have that. So Gemara says, no, that the prices are fluctuating. It's hard to tell. The Modi and the whole sugya, you can't really tell. But you're right. The Gemara asks that kasha, what can we tell from the price? So the Gemara tries to figure out why that's not going to help. So Rabbi say, we have two Gemaras now staring us in the face. The Ein Ochin B'mam Nacharov, which would lead us to believe that Ein Ochin B'Nefash Nacharov. Because remember, Lu Yitzuya, that Ochin B'Nefash Nacharov, then Kavachan would be for Mominus. So here the Gemara said, Hedrin and Asamach Tess told us, Rabbi Krispadoi, and the 281 by the 8th Sachidish, and the Basketball Shalom, all those Gemaras are saying, yeah, Hochin, 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 And the Gemara says, and Dav Gimel, Holchim, you follow Rav Dayonim, Bein Din Mamet, and Din Nefashos, and then you have these two Gemara sticking out, like, so what comes? What's going on? What's the beer about? We're not the first ones to raise this question. Comes Tosis in Masechet Sanhedrin, and Dav Gimel obeys and raises this problem. Comes Tosis and says, Din Mamet, Lakol Shigein, and Dav Gimel obeys. Second last tells from the bottom. So says Tosfos, before they discover the Gemara in the Sabach Tes yet, says Tosfos, this Gemara that Gimel is enough to do a sin. This is already enough to cause a problem. Because we follow Rov Dayanam and Din Nefashos. So Kavachayim, we should follow all the Rovs with Din Mamonis. So Tosfos is willing to negotiate with us on this Gemara. Tosfos is willing to say the Gemara of Gimel Bein Zarem is not a dead giveaway, it's not a kasha, it's not an outright question against those two sugyas of Abraham. Why? Says Tosfos, maybe. The Ein Loimer, so whenever you see the Ein Loimer, you know you could have said it. The Ein Loimer, don't say it. The Dini Nefashis Gufayu, Laws Lina Basaruba, Bruba the Leise Kamon, Ela Bruba the Ise Kamon. So Tosfos is making a reference to a sugya in the first back of Chulin, but the Gemara develops. The principle, there are two kinds of roles in halacha. There's Ruba the Isa Kamon, Ruba the Leisekamon. They're very, very different conceptually. Ruba the Isa Kamon means, for example, I have 10 stores, 9 selling kosher, 1 selling treif. I can count all the stores, Isa Kamon. Or I have 3 dayanim, 2 saying chayav, 1 saying, I can count all the dayanim's heads. That's what Ruba the Isa Kamon. Ruba the Leisekamon means some kind of a statistical probability. Most animals are not treifers. Most women give birth to 9 months. Most this, most that. Did anyone sit down and count every single birth since the days of Adam Arishon to figure out? No. You look around, you see that most women, we all sit to say the singing, Tisha Achaleida, so for some, I mean, most women say give birth in 9 months. I'm all you hear, there's a woman who went to labor early. But real behemoths ate in Dreyfus. Did anyone sit down and count every single animal in the world, real behemoths ate in Dreyfus? No. We're walking around the farm, we see most cows look pretty good. They're walking around. Every once in a while, there's a cow that all of a sudden it collapses, and when we open it up, we see it's got a hole in the top of it. It happens. But real babies are probably not treifers. So it says to us, just maybe, 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 the only time we follow Rove by Dine Mominus, or Dine Nefashos, for that matter, because again, the two are going to be the same, based on the Kavachimer, that's like by Dayanim, where it's moved to Issa, come on. And everybody knows this, so Ruba the Isa Kamon is much better than Ruba the Leise Kamon, right? Why is it? Why is that right? Why is Ruba the Isa Kamon better than Ruba the Leise Kamon? Well, that's the case that Torah is talking about. But even conceptually, you can understand why it's probably a little better.
More of an absolute.
It's more absolute. I mean, we have something to point to. It's, listen, I have no shiloh that I have a rove here. I got rove. I counted on my fingers. Of the numbers of stores here. You know, when you start to say most people are in that phrase, I always get very weird when like, most poskim said, who did you count as your poskim? Who's in that? Most people think, you know, most shuls do this, the article, most congregations do this. V-state, most congregations. Because once they tell you most congregations, then they're mailed to most congregations. That's what Rabbi Williams, Rabbi once said about, he was reading a certain sefer, they said that the minhag of most people is to do the following. So I remember he pointed out, he said, the reason why the minhag is, because that's what it says in the book. So mamela, most people are reading this book and they follow the minhag. The minhag was not like that before the book was written. So you have to always be careful. So the stuff conceptually, with the lace was a little, yeah, I'm sorry.
Is it because we can't prove a negative? Like, you can prove a positive, but you can't prove a negative?
Okay, good, right. But it could be right, possible, right. So, Taisa is willing to entertain this possibility that we follow Rove to Issa Kamon. Either like Eliot said, because that might not be the Chumash talking about. Or even logically, it's a little bit somehow of a better kind of a Rove. And maybe Rove the Leisa Kamons we don't follow in Dina Mamonis. And maybe we don't follow in the Nefashos either. So, Taisa was willing to accept that possibility until they got 66 blot later to Arsug and Abarash and Sarah Mora. Mash, but the Bechol Duchlos didn't pass a Ruba. Didn't pass a Ruba. I don't want to question Tosfos. One word I don't understand. Let's do it. Mash, not Mash. It's the Farish. As it says, Kigo, Rob Nashma Tessi Olda. Ruba didn't she talk to you with the Yarchot. All the roads, Or Rav Moshe ben Aruzin. Those are all Rav Leleisa Kamans. No one's counting. So Tosis is back in a pickle. So Tosis says, Sotak, what's the answer? So we have half the Gemara and Sanhedrin are saying that you follow Rav by Nefashas, you follow Rav by Mabinus, Bain, to the Isa Kaman, maybe the Leleisa Kaman. And if there's two Gemara, still stick the animal of a Kaman. That robe that most people buy animals for work, or the other robe of most people call chavises and katzkatz, lo chashiv ki hanach ruba. Those are not such good robes. Hukach lo samchin and ahach ruba bedirin and mominus. Those robes were not going to fall. You know what Tosis just did? They took that grandiose klal called Ein Hochel Mamonach Harov. There have been yeshivas who have given countless shir klalis titled Ein Hochel Mamonach Harov. Tosfos said those two gemaras don't exist. The gemara never meant to say Ein Hochel Mamonach Harov, never. But the gemara meant to say when it says Shvach Harov, Bechi Hagavna Ein Hochel Mamonach Harov. And what's a shvach about those robes?
That's to determine the metzias. So you're using a robe versus a judge. Hearing the facts, and you have two view of one way, one views in another. It's a different kind of robe.
No. The problem is, but Tosfos is willing to concede that in the Sabbath test, we're using robe by nefashos, which would mean we would use a power robe by mamonos to determine that most women give birth at 9 months, and most people are not islandesses, and most people don't know the mistakes in the moon. All those robes are ruba de leisa kamans. One after another. Three for three ruba de leisa kamans, and by kavachaymer of the abgim, you extend that din mamonos. So the only two cases that you don't follow a robe are the robes that are not so chashuv. What's not so chashuv about them? Oh, so chora. These are robes hatluyim b'das b'nei adam. That's what the Sheir Shemaita suggests. Sheir Shemaita, the Alak Tzois. He bases it on a Ramban, has such a notion, it says Kedusha, a little bit of a different sugya. Sheir Shemaita says, wait a second. These are not absolute robes. These are robes that change according to time and place. Today, chavises may be called chavises and kads may be called kads, but not necessarily tomorrow. Today, most people may be buying animals for a certain purpose, but that may change tomorrow. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with certain natural laws. One of the rules of biology is that rov noshim v'tes yoldos. Yes, it's true. Every once in a while you get an aberration of that. But whether the Olam of Teva is going to change the most Mashiach, I can't tell you. But Machlokes Rambam on the right. But until that point, women again, we're going to sing Tisha Yachid later. Until that point, Rov Dash Matesio. Until that point, the Teva changes. So we're going to say, roast people are not Islandesses. And yes, Kol Zman, you have a Kiddush HaChodesh system in place that no one really knows exactly what Rosh Chodesh is. So it's feasible. I didn't say all people. I didn't say most people do make it. Most people can easily make such a mistake. It's a very, very understandable mistake, and therefore we will not disqualify the ages based on that. Rove in Sheitabi Budi Aicha. Those are robes, says the Sheish Baita, that are here to stay. The two robes of Baba Kama that Rabbi Shmuel argued about are very, very shvacha robes.
Who cares what's going to be tomorrow? We're dealing with today.
I wouldn't say that tomorrow is the reason. I say tomorrow, it's not the sib, it's the simon. It's indicative that the darga of rov is a lower level form of rov. But Rabbi Yisai, if we were dying, Tosis is loshim. Tosis didn't say they're no good in all those robes. Tosis could have easily said, those are no good robes. Those are nothing. What was Tosis loshim? Hilkos lo samchin and hachruba, what? Inimominus. I mean, for other areas of halachas, even those, so to speak, subjective, potentially changing robes are robes. If you would have such a kind of a robe that would be raised in Ishur Issa Heter, that would some of those kinds of robes would somehow, in some shape or form, impact on the kashrus of me, we would be okay to vote on the robes. So I didn't say they're not robes. Because the Gemara doesn't say they're not robes. The Gemara Mabas, the Gemara Mabakama says Beferish, that when do you follow a robe? How do you need to be sure of a love of Mamayna? The Gemara is saying these do meet the standards of the robe of Kaltar Kula, but they fall short of the Minimamanis. And guess what? Where else must they, by definition, fall short? The Nefashis, because otherwise you stop with the Kavachar. So this is the first beer in the Rishayim in Arsugya. So Agamon Sabachtes, we stand to. that roves really work. Roves are really good. Bein nir fush, bein nir mamonis. And the two gemaras that seem to say otherwise are the yitzidim. Not the same way it says in this Tosis. This is the less spoken about Tosis. The more popular Tosis, the solution to this problem, is Tosis of Abba Kama. Let's see if we can get started in the Masha with the Tosis of Abba
Kama. The Masha of Shmuel, that makes it sound like going up against one's metaphorical right, not as a function of the world. Right?
Well,
that would sound like it disqualifies the Kalpona.
Okay, we'll get it. We're just mechavik to a major, major machlekes zechorim. We'll get, I don't know if we'll get to it today or the next week. He just dumped that nekuda. Maybe much less than what you just said. So Tosfos has the same kasha in Maseches Bava Kama, and lechori gives a totally different answer. The Shei Shmaitza for sure thought there were different answers, and we're going to work with the assumption that what Tosfos is about to tell us in Bava Kama Chazan Remez is not what they said inside. It's a different answer again. So Tosfos in the top of Chazan Remez, Kamash v'derechom orechom. Tema, recognizes. Matam and Hochin. Laysim a Kabachim within your fascists. Sounds familiar? What do you mean in a Kabachim? Kabachim, if you don't mean to pray Kabachim in heaven, if Yoshua buys a Kabachim within your fascists, Umad in the fascists, the Hamiri of Rahman is a Bosaruba, did a moment the kosher came? And then Tosis dispels any myth you may have had of saying, no, that's not a Ruba, the Isa commands, these are Laysa commands. What word does it change? It says it. So Tosis has a lot of explaining to them. So this is what Tosis says. V'yesh lo'emar. D'hotam gabay dayonim shayni. No. The fact that we follow Rove by dayonim, that's different. Why is it different? D'choshev muted who? K'misha'eno. When you have Rov Dayanim, the third Dayan ceases to exist. Is that it? Third Dayan is Kabantalais. V'leikon l'meim ha'osam uki mamon v'cheskes marei. And you can't turn around and say, Motzuchel v'raya, prove to me that I owe you the money. That based him after me then. The Beis Din just paskin that Yechayev. So Tosfos just sounds like they're throwing a lot of kerbals at you, one after another. First they say, no, Dayanim is different, it's very, very different. You know, because the third Dayan is command of life. So, okay, and therefore a lot, I'm not sure. And then Tosfos, by the way, you know why we have no qualms taking away your money? Because we're a Beis, we can do whatever we want. Okay, and therefore what? Aval gabi shar moment, but by other cases of Mamunah, such as the cases in Bava Kama, by the Chovas and the Kana, by the Shor, etc. Deikah miyut lechazaka. There, we do have a miyut. Some people would side with Shmuel, so to speak. Some people would side with the Lekech. We won't follow Rav. Can someone please decipher for me what Tosfos just said? Tosfos just threw like 15 different factors in one big chant, and as soon as we're going to walk away understanding what they meant. So the one thing they're clearly saying is that Rov Dayanim is different. Don't bother me with Rov Dayanim. Rov Dayanim is different because of multiple reasons. The Miyut doesn't exist, and it's amazing. Mafkiyah Mavnin, and all Anna Megillah from Rov Dayanim. So don't ask in cash for Rov Dayanim. I still don't understand. So forget said headed the forgiveness. Forget about that. Tachlis. Forget the other. Do you follow Rabbi Dina Fushes? Just answer one question. Do you follow Rabbi Dina Fushes? Rabbi Dina Fushes, don't follow Rabbi? What's the Gemara say today? Yeah, you do. Dina Fushes, you do. So doesn't it make sense, Kavachim, and Madach Dina Fushes? So shouldn't you follow Rabbi Dina Fushes? Forget that. I'm not talking about anything. If Madach Dina Fushes, you can kill a guy based on Rabbi. You can't take away a few dollars based on Rabbi. So somehow Tosfos took the Gemara and Sanhedrin and Avgimel about Dayanim and said, don't ask me any kashas, that's in its own world. Mute Dayanim is command. The lay side, I don't hear about Dayanim. Okay, because those I will forget Dayanim. Put Dayanim on the back word. At the end of the day, you have a Gemara Sanhedrin that says, you kill based on rope. If Gemara Sanhedrin comes and says, you don't take more money based on rope, that doesn't make any sense. That defies logic. That's the Kabachim, it's forkert. Tosfos didn't even talk about that topic. They raised the question, they didn't even address the topic. Bechlal. They gave you a sheer klali as to why the yarmulke is different. So we don't understand what in the world the sheer klali was about. We have no idea what made the yarmulke different. We don't know why Tosfos said two different things. First they said that the yarmulke is command the mitzvah, is command the leisa, and then they said beizit is mafkia mamu. We don't know what either of those two things mean, or why they're significant, and why they need both. And we have absolutely no idea. To the most glaring missing part of Tosfos is that, okay, well, so we threw the Gemara out of the forget, we tossed the mafkia mamu. Let's go outside the realm of beizit. We fight the avakasha. Yeah, no. The first and moment is different. What happened to the Kavachayim? So besides these kashas, the Tosfos is very, very easy to understand. So we might say, there are two fundamentally different approaches in the Gedolei Acharonim as to how to read the Tosfos. What in the world, where in the world is Tosfos coming from, and what is the Yesod HaDavar, and ultimately for our purposes, is what's going to put the proper spin onto the Nedav Semach Tes. One approach is taken by the Prima Godim. It's also subscribed to in the Kudnes HaSfekis, because HaSfekis was the brother of the Kutzei Sechashim. That's like one side of the equation, one approach to what Tosfos is driving at. The other approach that Tosfos is driving at is taken by the Sheh Shmeis himself, by the brother, and Rabbi Chanan elaborates a little on, goes down that route with that approach as well. So hopefully we'll have Hashem next week, we're going to try to go down the two gedolei, four major players in these sugyas to try to explain what the Mahalach, what the Bira Dov, what direction those is going down, then try to clarify for us just how significant this plays on Daf Semach Tes. We have to work it out for the next show.